Good morning, beloved ones.
Good morning.
You look so beautiful to my eyes. I just look out here and I just am filled with so much love and gratitude as I see this wonderful sacred space just filling up with light, filling up with light beings, the divine of God right here in the midst of all of us. So turn to somebody and tell them, you are simply divine. You are simply divine. You are simply divine. Yes. You are simply divine. You know, we've been working these last few weeks with the topic biblical basics. We've covered a lot. Heaven and hell and angels and demons and sin and punishment. And as I was winding this series up, I thought, well, I can't really close it without talking about something also important that is a part of the biblical foundation that many of us grew up with. But of course, we've been looking at these concepts and these teachings from a new thought perspective, from a metaphysical perspective, right? And so that's how we're going to move forward. But I was thinking of this whole concept of heritage and identity and who am I and how am I able to express more of that which is best in me, you know, to express my highest potential, to give you all that I have. And I thought, well, we have such a wonderful opportunity to balance our personalities, our sense of self with our true identity, our individualities. But yet we might find ourselves sort of getting lost in the shuffle and forgetting who we are and whose we are. Have you ever noticed that when you are being introduced to someone new or to someone that's unknown to you, how the conversation quickly turns to, well, what do? Right? Rather than who you are, what do? Or perhaps when you're introducing somebody or somebody asks you about another person, they may say, well, who are they? Right? And the answer still somehow is related to what the person does. And you say, oh, they're a lawyer with such and such firm. Or they're a special ed teacher, you know, at so-and-so school. Somehow our identity has become synonymous with what we do. Our value and our sense of self-worth also gets tied with our doingness, right? Our profession, our work, which for some people, you know, it can make it very challenging when the time comes for them to do something else. Because if I do something else, does that mean I'm going to be something else? Or when it's time for them to retire or to leave a particular position, or when the children leave, you know, the nest and the home after them having been parents, all of a sudden it becomes, well, if I don't do so-and-so, then what am I? And who am I? Who am I? Well, the truth of the matter is, friends, your real identity has nothing to do with what you do. Nothing to do with what you do. But yet, if you can somehow be really clear about your true identity, about who you truly are, if you can be clear with that and begin to somehow live up to who you truly are and who you know yourself to be, then that will make whatever it is that you do better. It will somehow make whatever you do or help you to have a manifestation of what you do from a higher perspective, a higher level. It will bring out the best in you when you know who you are, whose you are, and what you are. Imelda Shanklin, who was a longtime Unity writer, wrote a book called What Are You? And it was her thinking that by asking this question or that question, like, what are you, would somehow naturally cause you to identify with your spiritual or your divine nature. After all, you know, we are spiritual beings first and foremost. But I began to think about that, you know, maybe perhaps we as true students might get that play on words, right? But if someone were to ask you, you know, oh, well, who are you? Say, well, what are you? If you're going to introduce yourself to somebody, I'm this and what are you? And that might be a startling question, a shocking question for people. After they kind of look at you and figure maybe, you know, you're not quite balanced or something's not going on here. But after they see that you're serious, they perhaps might stop and they might think, well, it's still somehow related to what you do. Because if I say, what are you? You're going to tell me what you do. So I'm thinking, well, maybe, you know, I understand where she's trying to go. But I would think that we'd come up with the same conclusion with what we do. However, it is her thinking, and perhaps she was thinking about us as truth students, it's her thinking that if someone were to ask you, well, what are you, instead of who are you, that you would naturally answer with that which speaks to your indwelling nature. Now, as a truth student, that might be true. So you might find yourself saying, well, I am the Christ. I am the Son, the daughter of God. I am divine. I am a spiritual being, right? If you're comfortable with that. We might say, well, I am blessed and highly favored. That seems to be the one that most of us could try on and it feels a little bit better, right? That's on the circuit. I'm blessed and highly favored. We've even in the 14th class, we're even proud to be able to say, I'm prosperous. But how does it feel to say something like, I am the Christ of God. I am the son or the daughter of God. That feels pretty gutsy, doesn't it? And it might even feel a bit arrogant or you might shrink back at saying that. You know, because we can figure out, I'm prosperous, I'm blessed and highly favored. You know, we get that. We might even, I'm the king's kid. We'll go that far. But when we sit up and say, I'm the son of God, the people were like, whoa, oh, no. They might even be saying, I don't think so, you know. That's a bold statement to make. But you see, Jesus wasn't afraid to utter it. He was not afraid to say it. And he would interchangeably say, I'm the Son of God. And sometimes he would say, I'm the Son of Man. Now, he would say it even though those around him had a hard time with his saying it. Just like there would be people today that probably would have a hard time with us saying it. Things haven't changed much in 2,000 or 3,000 years. But he wasn't afraid to say it, even though those around him did not understand it or were not comfortable with it. So I thought, let's look and see if we can look into how do we get a deeper understanding of Jesus as the Son of God, or as some parts of the scripture says in John 3:16, as the only begotten of God. Which for some people means that he is the one and the only divine offspring of God. Now, from a new thought perspective, and that is the only perspective that, you know, I can give that feels good to me. But from a new thought perspective, what is truly the only begotten of God is the Christ ideal. The Christ idea and the idea. That Jesus became, that Jesus unfolded, that he revealed, that he uncovered, that he expressed. It was that Christ nature that indwelled him. That's the part that is the only begotten of God. It is the Christ, right? Which is why we in New Thought say, Jesus the Christ. See, I know that you think, some of you may think Jesus' last name was Christ. right? Come on now, if you're honest. Own up to it, right? For a long time. But you all, not you all, because I know you all have been studying truth. But we'll say Jesus the Christ. It is the expression he was able to manifest and demonstrate. It's what he unfolded, what he uncovered about himself. It is part of his divine nature, that which made him, you know, fully human and fully divine. Now we too, here's the good news, where we might differ from some of my traditional colleagues, is that we too are fully human and fully divine. Now we're trying to work on which one comes first, but you know, because our humanity shows up very often, the full spectrum of it, but we too are fully human and fully divine. We too have the Christ ideal, the idea, the pattern of who we are meant to be, right? We have that within us. That's what's only begotten of God. And we can begin to identify ourselves with that and as that, just as Jesus did. So I want us to look at the variation of the names for Jesus, okay? So first we have, no, sometimes you know I want to teach and preach, and sometimes I feel I got to teach. I'm in a teaching mode, so bear with me. So first we have Jesus, right? There is Jesus, which speaks to his humanity, right? It represents the man that walked the earth, the man who worked, because Jesus, it says, was what? A carpenter. It represents a man who had siblings. He had brothers and sisters, a family. It represents that person who went to shul or temple, engaged in family and religious holidays and celebrations and feasts, went to school to learn and to grow. It is that part of that person who lived 2,000 years ago from his humanity, all right? Jesus, Yeshua ben Joseph. Jesus, the son of Joseph. That's his Jewish name, would be Yeshua ben Joseph. Because they always identify a person by your father, the son of. So it would be Jesus, the son of Joseph. Now, at the same time, we have this notion of Christ, right? Christ, which represents that perfect idea of and for spiritual man held in the mind of God. Christ is the perfect pattern, the perfect idea for the spiritual man and or woman held in, created by the mind of God. It represents the divinity of man. It represents the divine nature. And then you have the combination of the two. So you got Jesus, you have Christ, and then you have Jesus Christ, right? The two, the combination of the two, or Jesus the Christ, which represents a merging of one's humanity with one's what? Divinity. A merging. And you see, it's this state where speaks to that which is the highest and the best in us. It's the merging of one's humanity and with our divinity. This is when we are functioning and we are expressing at a very high level. Because, you know, when it was just Jesus, but it was just when it was Jesus Christ, he was functioning at the very high level. But was it the highest level? And I'm going to say no, because there's another combination that is even more powerful, and that is the name of what? Christ Jesus. So we got Jesus, we have Christ, we have Jesus Christ, and we have Christ Jesus. Now here's the thing, he is only identified or called Jesus Christ in the Gospels, right? In the Gospels. But after the resurrection, see, in the Gospels, he's with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are called the synoptic gospels. He is only called Jesus or Jesus the Christ or Jesus as the Christ. But after the resurrection, he is called Christ Jesus. See, before the resurrection, his humanity or his human nature takes the lead in his identity, right? And his humanity is what gets merged with his, what? Divinity, his spirituality. But after the resurrection, the process is reversed. He reverses the process so that now his spiritual nature and his spiritual identity takes the lead, right? It is now Christ Jesus, meaning that he is now fully empowered in and by his divine nature. When we, you know, he's made that overcoming. When we make the overcoming and really get clear as to who we really are, we will begin to reverse the process. You will put your spiritual nature, your spiritual identity, first and foremost. Is someone having a challenge? All right. We're going to bless her. So, you know, his human nature. So what happens here is that we too have been empowered from on high. We too have been encoded, friends. We've been encoded by our spiritual divine and in our spiritual DNA with the seeds of this Christ ideal, this Christ idea. And Jesus, as the Christ, was always trying to get us to follow him in this process of expressing our divine nature, of merging with our humanity. So here's the thing. You know, I'm thinking, wow, I've been empowered and encoded by God as the Christ. And I'm destined for great things. I'm destined for greatness, right? So let me hear you say this. Let me hear you say, I have been empowered and encoded by God. As the Christ. And I am destined for greatness. See, that's the truth. That is the truth that will set you free when you really understand that. Because not only is Jesus the Son of God, but we too have the identity as children of God. We too have an elder brother. We call Jesus, as the scripture says, we call Jesus our elder brother and our way shower. Right? When I was thinking about, I just taught this weekend a oneness course, and part of the course, there's a section called Bonding with the Divine. And I was having some challenges sometimes just figuring out how to do that in a sense of how maybe the Hindus would look at it. And, you know, this morning it came to me, it's like, wow, you have an elder brother. You've got somebody who's ready to show you the way. A divine master who has gone on and done great things and prepared a place for me that I could follow. That I could, right? And the Bible says that I'm actually a joint heir. I'm a joint heir with Christ, meaning that I too share in a divine heritage. I have a divine heritage. And so, as our elder brother, and I said to somebody yesterday, who wouldn't want to have an elder brother that can heal the sick and raise the dead, you know, and cause manna to come from heaven and feed five? I want that, and that would be here to show me the way and to guide me and support me and help me and assist me. Who wouldn't want to have that? I think that's powerful and wonderful. So as our elder brother and way shower, we can call upon him. We can call upon this wonderful Christ Jesus to help us, to guide us, for assistance in finding our way through this earthly maze, because this is a maze down here sometimes, and we get lost in the maze, do we not? Yes, but we can help call upon for the guidance we need and the direction and the answers that we need so that we can move into the realm of spiritual mastery. And Jesus as the Christ, or Christ Jesus, stands ready ready to guide us, to direct us, to help us, to support us, to lift us, to lead us into, as the Bible says, the regeneration. He said, follow me. I got the way. I know how to do this thing. I figured it out. I've mastered it. Follow me. Because the stuff that I do, you're going to be able to do even greater things. Follow me. Right? Follow me. Follow me into new life. Follow me into a new expression, into a higher level of living. Living from spiritual identity first and foremost. So we don't have to be resurrected before we figure out the processes to put your spiritual nature first. He said, follow me. Now, even though we can always call upon our elder brother for help, there comes a time, friends, when we must each be able to put on our big boy and our big girl undergarments, right? You know what I'm talking about. And I always like that because undergarments is what girds you, right? So there comes a time when it's great to be able to call upon our elder brother. But there comes a time when you must be able to also stand upon your own identity and your own nature as the Christ of God. So we have to begin to develop and nurture the seed, that spark of divinity that has been encoded in our being, that is within us as the Christ. So we are, friends, that perfect idea held in the mind and created by the presence and power of God. We are that idea, and everything that we need lies within us. It lies within you as the Christ. It is the divine of God. The essence of God is right there. Every Sunday we sing it, right? It's within you. And so we have what we need. We've been empowered. We've been encoded. And so when we begin to make the connection in consciousness, when we begin to say that this is who I am one with the one, when we begin to see that, all of a sudden, the divine flow of grace, of energy, of substance, of guidance, and the fulfillment of God begins to express through us, just as God expressed through Jesus as the Christ in manifestation. So let us begin to affirm and believe. I am the perfect idea held in the mind of God. I am divine. I am one with the one. I am that I am. I am a joint heir with Christ. I am, as the Apostle Paul said, have this same mind that was in Christ Jesus in you. Have the same mind that's in you that was in Christ Jesus. The same heart that was in Christ Jesus in you. The same makeup that was in Christ Jesus in you. We have the consciousness of the Christ within us. And when we call it forth, that will be our saving grace. Beloved ones, I behold the Christ in you. Blessings and namaste. 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 Blessings.